we were just saying, the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. And for those that may not be watching the live stream or maybe tuned in just a few moments late, it might be fun to go back and watch the top of the show as we had artfully done work by the great Jackson Ajello. It was an introduction featuring the canines of the 06-0-0.
Yeah.
They were super cute.
Get to know my human.
That's right. Get to know my human.
Yeah, a little infotainment, little facts, little bullet points about each of us.
And
Kyle is a stat guru, apparently, according to his dog.
Yeah.
And a big cereal aficionado.
Well, that part we did know. Kyle does love his cereal. Very impressed
his cereal
by the
full and his
screen.
Stats. Yes,
very,
he does.
Yeah, some super cute dogs. So if you're listening to the audio portion right now and you want to go back and check out the video, you can see the top of the stream, the very beginning of the show.
Jackson Ajello is also going to tweet it out at Fantasy Focus later today when the podcast is published. So if you want to see it there, you can check the video out there as well.
You should definitely be following at Fantasy Focus. It's where you get all of our information. It's where you get the live stream. And you know
the videos,
polls,
and all those stuff
the
that polls. You were looking
for. It's definitely a lot of fun.
Definitely not the worst Twitter account going right now. Yeah. And a reminder, Stefania, hello to you as well. Stefania is now back in cozy domain. And Daniel, hello to you, who we can see. But a reminder,
We could no longer afford the rent that it was costing ESPN
for Chateau de Cone
to put a camera there.
Unreal.
Just the 2 foot. Area of Stefania's palatial estate that we as a company needed to rent, you know, to keep the camera there was too expensive. And so in a cost-cutting move, we've asked Starfania, to grace us with her presence here on the Bristol campus.
Am I looking in the right spot now?
Yes, you are. Enrico's definitely napping back in that old spot, isn't
he, Stefania?
I had one little iPad at home. Now I have multiple cameras.
Wow.
So I got to make sure I get the goods. The
Every angle of you, Stefania, is great.
I'm setting myself up.
There's no such thing as a bad angle of Stefania. You stop that right now.
Upgrade. All right, let's just a quick housekeeping announcement before we get into the football because we got a bunch of news. We have some updates. Michael Thomas might miss some time. But we were so excited to hit the road for our fifth straight year of live shows. And we want to remind everyone who may not have heard it yesterday that we are dedicated to keeping everybody safe and we're going to come directly to you in your living room.
Yeah.
And instead
via
of going
the
on
internet.
The road, that's right. Via the internet. We'll have our first ever virtual live podcast next Tuesday, September 22nd at 6 p.m. Eastern and would love for you to join us. Yes, Matthew.
So I just raised my hand for those of you listening at home just to ask a quick question. I think it's great that we're continuing the tradition of the live shows. And we're going to come to people live in their homes via the internet. How is this different than what we do every single day here on the YouTube and the at Fantasy Focus and the ESPN app and the ESPN Fantasy app and the ESPN Facebook page for ESPN Fantasy?
Let me tell you how it's different because you have the opportunity to submit questions You can submit questions when you register and you can have a chance to participate in our Q&A and hang out. And this is not going to be broadcast live to an audience other than those that do register. Mm-hmm. So
it's a private show.
That's right. It's a private show. It's free, but space is limited, and from what I am told, we nearly filled capacity yesterday, so be quick if you would like to join us for the show. Again, it's next Tuesday, September 22nd, and here's how you get there. Go to bit.ly/fantasyfocusfootball. That's all lowercase today. Once more, bit.ly/fantasyfocusfootball to snag a seat, and the Fantasy Focus virtual events are presented by Geico. Geico is now offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies. Visit geico.com for more. And Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
So because
sorry, Matthew Berry.
Fantasy news from the National Football League.
I don't think you are.
I was just trying to be efficient. Dang it, sorry. You were probably going to say something actually important and valuable here.
What do you got?
I was literally going to just say, I was going to try to support this thing.
Oh, okay.
I was going to say that it's a Q&A, so it's a chance. It's like going to be all Q&A.
Yep.
It's going to be 100% live, and because it's not going to be broadcast, there's a chance that Daniel wears no clothes. So I'm just letting you know that. Just letting America know
at
that.
Least,
giving them
that,
a heads
are
up.
Are you trying to persuade or dissuade people from joining this show?
I just want them to have all the information before they make that important decision as to whether or not to sign up for this free, live, exclusive
Hello,
event.
Sailor.
Let's start.
That'll be it. Tuesday night.
The most natural segue from potentially naked Daniels, talk about Michael Thomas and his injury, and let's go right to Stefania because we got a bit of an update there yesterday, Stefania, on Michael Thomas, who left Sunday's week one matchup early due to an ankle injury.
Yeah, yesterday I said that mechanism of his foot twisting in the turf when he got rolled up on by his teammate Alvin Kamara looked like a high ankle sprain mechanism, and in fact now being reported officially as a high ankle sprain for Michael Thomas. The wording is interesting here because the Saints expect him to miss their next game, which is of course on Monday Night Football. I'm a company woman right here on ESPN, but if he does miss Monday night, he could potentially miss longer as well. However, Michael Thomas does not believe he will miss time. And you know, what's interesting about these type of injuries is guys will often start to feel a little bit better just walking around, especially if they're in something supportive like a boot. But then when they try and plant that ankle in the ground, plant and pivot, which is the actual mechanism of injury, that's when they struggle. So we shall see what actually happens, but he does not want to go on IR. The Saints are concerned that he'll miss not only Monday night, but more than a week. So I think there's going to be a little battle going on internally for him to try and prove he can play. The Saints concerned about perpetuating an injury longer, obviously, than they would like it to be in the first place.
Stefania, I want to follow up here real quickly. I understand that there's some disconnect, at least publicly, between what the Saints are saying and what Michael Thomas himself is saying. But just in general, obviously, it's impossible because unless you personally were looking at his ankle and had the x-rays, and it's hard to say. But just in general, this type of injury, what is the recovery time? Because it, 1 week strikes me as, when you hear high ankle sprain and you hear 1 week, that seems like a disconnect to me. But what do I know? I'm dumb.
No, you're not. And you've been sitting by my side for many years. So
for 12 years. I think I listen every once in a while, every other year.
I think you have learned some things. And it really comes down to the severity. But I always say you take your clues where you can get them. He was standing on the sideline after. He did not want the medical staff to examine his ankle. So it wasn't the most severe type of injury, or he wouldn't have been able to put weight on it. He wasn't on crutches or anything like that. So you have to assume it's a relatively mild injury. But even so, it makes those movements I was talking about difficult, because if you have any injury to the ligaments that basically support the roof of the ankle, when you put weight through it and you're creating motion there, it hurts. And guys often are a lot more stiff and they can't execute, even if they're able to tolerate the pain. It's just a matter of execution as well. And then you can make the injury be prolonged. So even a mild injury at best is about 2 weeks. I think if you go way back to the Chicago Bears, the running back whose name escapes me right now is so tough. I'm trying to think of who it was. Help me out, guys.
Cedric.
Yeah.
Jordan Howard?
No.
David Montgomery. obscure
Anthony
Bears.
Anthony Thomas, right?
The A-Train.
No. I'll think of it later in the show. Okay. But anyway, he had a high ankle sprain, and he came back in about 2 weeks, and it shocked everyone, and he actually performed pretty well. But for most cases, it's 3 or 4 weeks.
Who's the guy? The Jeremy Langford?
No.
The guy that Mike Clay hates.
You're going to be like, oh, of course.
Okay, well, in any event, let's take all that information, and great stuff, Stefania. We'll be back just a moment here with Stefania. So our ESPN reporting as of this moment is that we do not expect to see Michael Thomas on Monday night. Stefania mentioned the possibility of injured reserve, which would mean at least 3 games that he would miss. Let's focus for now, Matthew, on week two.
Real quickly, though, I just want to think about this. We think, you never know, right? Any given Sunday or any given Monday, things can happen. But my expectation here is the Saints are able to take care of the Raiders on Monday night.
I would think so.
Then they're 2-0. And as we've talked about yesterday, the Saints have legitimate Super Bowl aspirations. They expect to be playing not 16 weeks, 20 weeks, right? I mean, and so if you're 2-0 and you've got your franchise guy, your $100 million wide receiver, like, you're not rushing. You need him for all the way through February. You're not rushing this guy back, no matter how badly he wants to get on the field and contribute, especially, by the way, I think if you're 2-0.
I completely agree with everything you just said. The two dynamics I think are real are that Michael Thomas is going to want to have a say in this matter. And the Saints offense was excellent on the ground last week, not great through the air. So even if they're 2-0, if they're not at full Voltron in the passing offense, it might give Michael Thomas a bit more of a leg to stand on. But what I want to do just for now is let's focus in on week two, because again, sure, we are like, it would be surprising at this point if he plays in week two. Mm-hmm. So that means that somebody's going to have to step up in his absence. We talked about Alvin Kamara and potentially even more work for him, but there's really not that much higher in the rankings for Alvin Kamara to climb for running backs this week. You're playing him. But there is a trickle-down impact that I think has a direct tie to at least three players. The first one's Emmanuel Sanders, Matthew. He was signed to a two-year, $16 million contract this offseason, a guy who has been very productive. And let's not forget that last year, midseason, he gets traded to San Francisco. It took him, what, a week, 2 weeks before he became their number one wide receiver for a prolonged stretch. He can learn the fly.
He absolutely, and four red zone targets for Emmanuel Sanders this past week. Now, you know, didn't show up in terms of box score production, but the fact is they were getting in close and Drew Brees was looking for him. So I agree with you. Like, Emmanuel Sanders is a pro's pro. And again, we saw it last year with San Francisco, to your point. Like, if there's anyone that can pick it up, it's him quickly. And obviously, knowing that they're not going to have Michael Thomas for Monday and they've got the extra day, a lot of practice time. All right, Drew's saying, like, when I'm calling this play, I want you here. When I'm calling this play, I want you there. You know, maybe they stay after practice a little bit. 100%.
So yeah, he may end up finishing as a top 20 wide receiver, which would be a starter in 10-team leagues, where, of course, at minimum, two wide receivers are starting. I don't, and it looks like you don't view him right now as, like, a lock-it-in must-start for this reason. There's so many good wide receivers besides him, right? 100%. So it's actually less a reflection of what I think the outlook is for Emmanuel Sanders, because it would stand to reason that if he had four red zone targets last week, and that doesn't include other targets, oh, I mean, he looks like he's due for somewhere between 8 and 10 targets. And if you knew you were getting that from Emmanuel Sanders, talented player, you'd feel pretty confident with him in your lineup. I think there also is a tangent, a tie, I guess, to Jared Cook, though. Jared Cook last week was solid for the Saints. I think he did have one drop that I feel like I caught out of the corner of my eye. I could also just be remembering a lot of other Jared Cook drops from the past.
Right.
But because of the injury to Michael Thomas, does this inflate the value enough of Jared Cook that he should be a must-start amongst tight ends this week?
Probably. I mean, it's a great matchup, you know, with the Raiders as well. I mean, look, we saw Carolina, a, you know, brand new Carolina offense, put up 30 points on the Raiders this past week. And so You just sort of think about this. Thirsty Kyle notes that since 2019, pass catchers, wide receivers, or tight ends that have seen at least six targets against the Raiders have averaged over 16 fantasy points per game. And so, yeah, I mean, I have Jared Cook as tight end 7. You have him at 9. Secret Squirrel has him at 8. So we all have him as a top 10 play this week. I'm in the midst of writing my love-hate list for week number 2, and my guess is Jared Cook makes the list. You know, there's a couple other things, though, here. Could you see, like, because here's the thing. I don't know. The Saints didn't put up huge numbers against Tampa Bay because they didn't need to. That defense is so good. And we'll see. Like, jury is still out on the Raiders offense. They put up big numbers against the Panthers, but the Panthers are one thing. The Saints are another. And so I don't think Josh Jacobs runs wild the way he did against Carolina.
Agreed.
So if the Saints are up or up significantly, like, this may be a lower scoring game. They may not need to throw as much. Is there an uptick for Latavius Murray? You know what I mean? Like, I'm in like 16 leagues. So Traquan Smith was a popular pickup in a lot of my leagues.
Yeah.
With people expecting him to sort of take that Michael Thomas role for as long as he's out.
Let's dive into that throughout the week on Traquan, by the way.
Right.
He's been up and down. I think you've attacked one of the two leftover questions. Is there more running game volume for Latavius Murray? That to me is hard to predict because he had 15 carries last week in a game. Like, he's going to be a weekly staple for them. But I think maybe the most interesting sort of trickle-down impact is whether you bench Drew Brees.
Right.
Because Drew Brees, who by his own standards set for himself, did not look great last week.
Right.
The matchup is so good. It's such a good matchup.
It is.
Teddy Bridgewater and the Panthers moved the ball basically at will against Las Vegas. But with no Michael Thomas, and we're talking about a new number one wide receiver and the potential for them running the football a lot more, is this a week? Are you fading Drew Brees this week?
Not to mention Taysom Hill, by the way. Do you see more gadget plays with Taysom Hill? Again, they're going to have to manufacture, and I'm using that word loosely because the Saints don't need to manufacture offense. They have a lot of talented players beyond Michael Thomas.
Right.
But my point is like,
there are, when you lose a guy the caliber of Michael Thomas, the whole offense has to change, at least in some way. And so you're trying to think of different things. What can we do? Different playmakers. They obviously love Taysom Hill. There's a lot of different things you can do with Taysom Hill. Do they suddenly get creative with him? And again, does he vulture it, whether it's a touchdown pass, whether it's a, you know, whether it's a sweep, something like that, they get in close.
It reminds me a little bit of last week what we were dealing with both Daniel Jones and Kyler Murray, because there was a debate, at least, about whether do you consider sitting Kyler Murray against a really good San Francisco 49ers defense, and most people who have him ended up not for obvious reasons, and he played great, right? So on paper, you're like, okay, Drew Brees lacking his number one, you know, not just his number one, but arguably the number one wide receiver in the NFL. Maybe they just ground and pound this one out. Again, it has to be one of those really unique circumstances where maybe you drafted Drew Brees plus Cam Newton. Maybe you drafted Drew Brees plus insert other flyer quarterback.
Right.
But I think that's something that we're going to have to continue to discuss throughout the week.
My initial ranks have him outside my top 10. His projection is 18.4. And when you're like, well, 18.4 is pretty good. But again, I mean, we talked about Daniel Jones yesterday. Daniel Jones had 17.4, whatever it was.
Bad matchup.
And was QB 19. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I guess the quarterback scoring is just so high. Like, Drew Brees could score 18 fantasy points, 18 to 20, have a perfectly good fantasy day, and still finish outside the top 10.
I just want to note, for those that are watching right now, It says I have him as QB1. It's forgetting another number. I actually
you have
him
QB 11?
I have him QB 11, not QB1. So if there's any confusion, I don't want to be inconsistent with what I'm saying and what you're seeing.
Hey,
but Stefania?
Before we move on, I just want to come back and give you the answer to that question.
Ooh.
It was Matt Forte.
Oh, yeah.
Matt Forte.
And you might remember this. 2012 against the Packers, it was a Thursday night game. He injures his ankle, and there was all this conversation about, was it a high ankle, wasn't it? And at the time, people were saying he could miss a month, et cetera, et cetera. He missed one game. It was a Thursday night game, so you figure he had a little bit extra. But he came back 2 weeks later, week four, 13 carries, 52 yards, not his best performance, struggled with the ankle a little bit, probably because he pushed it and came back too soon, something he acknowledged after the season was over.
That was a throwback right there. Let's move forward.
By the way, that's not a recent Bears running back, Stefania. I want to just listen, Matt Forte is a legend, but that's not a recent Bears running back.
Everything is recent now, because if we start dating things, I'm not going to like anything we do.
Let's move forward. We'll have so much more Michael Thomas conversation throughout the week. The Saints have their first practice report on Thursday.
Can I add one last thing to that conversation, though, just to about the Drew Brees conversation? Whereas I have him outside my top 10, similar to what we were saying with like Kyler Murray last, I wouldn't go drop somebody to pick up another quarterback. Like if Drew Brees is your only quarterback, and that makes total sense in a 10-team or even a 12-team where you only play one quarterback, that you end the season with only Drew Brees as your quarterback, I'm not dropping a player on my roster that I like to go, you know, pick up somebody with a good matchup, Mitchell Trubisky or whatever. Like I'm not... You know what I mean? It's just whether depends on the options you have currently in your roster, because I think he's ultimately going to be fine. The matchup is really, really good, and it's Drew Brees on Monday night. He normally performs in a big way on a national stage.
This is a major storyline. We know that was a lot of time on Michael Thomas and the Saints offense, but let's move forward, and we'll continue to talk about that offense all week.
Yes, sir.
Stefania, yesterday, a situation that we thought had a chance to get kind of funky got funky. Le'Veon Bell is now out for at least 3 weeks, and why is that?
Well, if you saw him try and come back in the game last week after he injured his hamstring, he just couldn't do much of anything. And the injury didn't look good when it happened. It wasn't like just a mild where he just pulled up on it. He got twisted and torqued. We obviously don't know details about the injury itself, but it obviously impacted his ability to play. Adam Gase expressing regret for putting him back into the game. And I think this makes it easy. Makes it easy for the Jets that they know that they're going to be without him. So there's not going to be this question week in, week out. He's not going to be pushing every week to try and get back out on the field. He's got 3 weeks where he cannot play. And it makes it easier for fantasy managers, quite frankly, because you're not going to be wondering for 3 weeks whether Le'Veon Bell is an option or not.
I know Matthew and I see this the same way. So I'm going to speak for both of us. And then I'm going to ask you a trivia question. And it's not really a trivia question. It's more of a prediction. If you want to start Frank Gore this week, good luck. I wish you the best of luck, but he does not crack either of our top 45 amongst running backs this week. Michael Pirine, still hurt. Josh Adams, we hope, gets some work. But as I mentioned yesterday, Adam Gase loves Frank Gore. loves that dude. I think loyalty is going to have 15 carries on Sunday for Frank Gore.
Against his former team as well.
Yeah,
the only person I think I've ever met that loves Frank Gore more than Adam Gase is Mama Gore and Stefania Bell.
Correct.
Like, those are the only people that I've ever met that I think possibly, potentially, could love Frank Gore more than Adam Gase.
Yeah,
Stefania, where did Frank Gore go to college? I forget.
The U.
Oh, that's right.
If we have to make the case for Frank Gore in the Hall of Fame one day, we'll be prepared to do so. But
absolutely.
For week two, we're fading. But here's a trivia question, but it's not really a trivia question. It's a prediction. Yeah. I fill in the blank. The next game Le'Veon Bell plays for the Jets will be in week?
Never.
No. Six.
So he would be eligible to play as soon as week five. So you're saying, like, hey, maybe it takes a little bit more time and week six he comes back?
Yeah, I mean, maybe week five or six. Like, I think we see him in a Jets uniform again, but I don't think it's long. I don't think it's long. I mean, like, and it would not shock me if we've seen the last of Le'Veon Bell in a Jets uniform. Like, I faded him all preseason, and it's a bad situation. And by the way, think about this. If the Jets are 0-4 or 1-3 heading into week five, which is certainly a possibility. We don't expect them to go into San Francisco and beat the Niners, an angry Niners team. So then you're suddenly, now we're looking to next year.
Right.
And all due respect, Frank Gore is not the future. Although he might be. I mean, Frank's going to play until Frank Jr. gets to the
Correct.
NFL, right?
4 years from now.
I feel like at some point they move on, whether they trade him and even eat some of the salary, and Le'Veon's going to want to get out of that situation. He's going to want to play for a contender.
Right.
We'll see. Does he go back to Pittsburgh, right? Who suddenly needs a running back maybe with James Conner? Who
Benny
knows?
Benny Snell saying, huh, me?
Yeah, exactly. The one thing I want to say here real quickly is, though, both in our 16-team War Room League and a number of deeper leagues, LaMichael P. Ryan is just sitting out there. He didn't go on IR. We know he's banged up. He had an ankle issue in the preseason, but he did not go on IR, so maybe he's healthier than we initially think. My expectation here is, I don't know when it's going to happen, Field, but at some point this season, LaMichael P. Ryan is going to be the starting running back of the New York Jets. And so when you're in deep leagues and looking, when you're, you know, one of those leagues where anyone with a pulse needs to be rostered, grab LaMichael P. Ryan and stash him on your bench, which is what I've done in a number of deep leagues.
Sometimes on this show, we bring things up to dismiss them. And I want to take the lead here in dismissing something that maybe people think has some fantasy relevance, but I would contend does not. Allen Robinson is very unhappy with this contract situation. It is no mystery. Multiple teammates, including Anthony Miller and Tariq Cohen, tweeted a very simple hashtag #ExtendAR yesterday. He's in the final year of a 3-year, $42 million deal, and that's $14 million per season when you see someone like DeAndre Hopkins at $19 million, Julio Jones at $22 million, Michael Thomas at $19-plus million. Allen Robinson has upper echelon wide receiver money in mind. I don't know if he gets it or not, Matthew, but if you ask the question, what does it mean for week two? It means nothing to me. It means nothing to me.
I'm with you.
What's he going to do, sit out? He's not going to sit out.
No.
He's not going to cost, because if he sits out, that costs him money. He wants more money right now, not less.
Right.
And as much as the Bears value Allen Robinson's a terrific player. I think this is very much a real football story. I think it carries right now. As of right now, I don't think it carries any fantasy football relevance.
I think if anything, squeaky wheel gets the grease. Right. You know, Allen Robinson had a quiet week one relative to his standards. Great matchup with
catch last week.
Huh?
One of his catches was just sick against the Lions.
He's one of the best wide receivers in the NFL.
Right,
no one's questioning his talent. I'm just saying, fantasy wise, he had a quiet week.
I agree.
By his standards. And so, a great matchup with the Giants, who have allowed multiple touchdown passes in five of the last six games. And so, I think squeaky wheel gets the grease kind of thing. I think Mitchell Trubisky looks Allen Robinson's way early and often in a great matchup against the Giants.
Let's talk about this. I want to revisit something that we closed the show with yesterday in like 90 seconds, because I think it's a really compelling conversation.
Okay.
It's called a tease in the business.
Tease.
I assume you mean the subject matter is a compelling conversation, not what you and I did in the last 90 seconds, because I don't know that we've ever had a compelling conversation.
I have to go check the iTunes review to see what they have to say about that. But we ended the show yesterday.
Oh, yeah, by the way, iTunes. Can you guys give us 5-star reviews, by the way? You don't have to mean it. But we're just asking. We're asking politely. It helps us. It helps us with iTunes. It helps us with the sponsors. Helps us keep the show free for you guys. So,
iTunes, you know what they are? iTunes reviews are exclamation points. How frequently when you use an exclamation point do you actually mean to emphasize it?
That's a great
That's like in text.
Question. I like that.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
iTunes, like you don't have to mean it. Just give us a five.
Absolutely. Like this. Stars. Right? Ready? Watch this. I love you, Matthew.
There you go.
Didn't mean it.
But obviously.
I was able to give it to Matthew. That's, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
That easy, guys.
Right.
That's all it takes. Five
I love
review.
Working with you guys.
Oh, it's so
See?
Great.
See?
It's my favorite people of the whole network.
Exactly. There you go. Look at this. So that's all we're asking here is just give us, I don't care if you feel like we're sort of like, we're like 3.5, 4 stars. I'm asking for a pity star and a half.
Right.
That's what I'm asking. I'm asking you to round up. That's what I want.
Yeah.
Because I think we've earned 3.5.
Right.
So I'm asking for a pity 1.5.
Right. Okay.
It's not a big ask.
It's all we're
people.
Asking. People. 5-star reviews. Let's talk about Austin Eckler.
I ask that of my wife all the time, by the way. I'm seriously like just
5-star
just,
reviews?
Yeah, just the pity star and a half, the grade up. That's all I'm asking. I'm just saying, listen. I'm asking. Just all right. In all aspects of my marriage.
Austin Eckler is a 5-star player. Yes. See what I did there. But yesterday we finished the show asking whether or not there was concern about his passing game usage. And in week 1, 19 carries, 84 yards. That part's great.
Right.
He had 1 catch, though. And 1 target for just 3 yards. It's week 1, Matthew, so I don't want to totally overreact to a star player who got 20 total touches and sound the alarm too substantially. I know you feel passionately about this, that Austin Eckler is more than fine. You'd be buying low. I just want to pass along this via Daniel Popper of The Athletic, who does an excellent job covering the Chargers, by the
yep.
way. Anthony Lynn, of course, the head coach, said the new scheme, primarily the increased quarterback and pocket movement, will limit checkdowns to running backs, including Austin Eckler, who only had 1 target Sunday. But he said it's still a priority to get Eckler touches moving forward. Which part is more important? Is it the first part, the former, about limiting checkdowns, or the latter, that it's a priority to get Eckler touches moving forward?
Okay. For me, I think it is the latter in terms of important to get Eckler touches moving forward. He had 20 touches. You know, I mean, like, again, he had 20 touches in an era where very few NFL running backs get 20 touches.
Mm.
I have to believe that Anthony Lynn is not a stupid man, that the staff of the Chargers offense is not completely stupid. And so if the idea is that they want to continue, not get Eckler touches, but continue to get him touches. Again, he had 20 in week 1, that they're like, you know what? Austin Eckler is one of the best pass-catching running backs in the NFL. You know what we should do is not feature that part of his game. I have to believe that while, yes, maybe there aren't as many checkdowns, ultimately, I believe checkdowns, while sometimes they're scripted, a lot of times it's just like, oh boy, oh, the production's breaking down. Uh-oh, I didn't read that blitz. Up, I got to do something with the ball. Who's around? Oh, there you go. Austin Eckler has, you know, bailed off of his blocking assignment and gone to catch a ball 5 yards off. Yeah. So does that affect maybe a couple of plays during a game? Yeah, sure, maybe. But listen, if they don't pass to Eckler at all against the Chiefs this week with an over-under of 48, right, then I think we can sound the panic alarm and say, Barry, you were wrong, and that's fine, because you can say that to me a lot of times.
That is exactly where I was going to go with this, because in a game where the script last week in week 1 was conducive to 19 rushes, the game script on paper would seem conducive to many more targets this week. Yeah. If it doesn't happen this week, it is concerning, and if the Chargers are better than expected and they do have more games where they're playing tight, Matthew, then it still is a little bit concerning to me, because I know you're right. It's rare to see a guy get 20 touches at the running back position, but you also know that not all touches are created equally, and there's some math, and there are a lot of people in the fantasy community that have sort of tried to quantify this, that, you know, 1 target is quite a bit more useful than 1 rushing attempt on average. So I think
this is true.
Week 2 is a big indicator to see how this might shake out going forward.
And listen, it's an important topic and we should talk about it, but ultimately, you know, we try to on this show give actionable advice. Okay, so what does that mean? And my take is that I would either be trying to buy low on Eckler or at least stay put.
Right.
Like, again, I'm not bailing on him, because, by the way, you're trading him at a low value, and if somebody is willing to, quote-unquote, sell him, you know, trade him after a game in which, again, he got 20 touches, you know, 84 yards. I know, he didn't get a lot of help in PPR, didn't get into the end zone, but all that stuff is coming for me.
Yeah, last word here is just that you're right. We look for actionable content. In the first, 1 to 4 weeks of the season, people also do want to know, like, did I basically screw my draft up in the first 2 rounds by taking Austin Eckler or Michael Thomas potentially? Because if you did, which is a very logical, that's probably what a lot of people did, right? Michael Thomas in round one, Austin Eckler middle of round two, then you're probably sitting here very nervous this morning. But I think we need to be a little bit more patient before we make such proclamations.
I will say this just off of that. I am more nervous about Michael Thomas than I am Austin Eckler. I am more nervous about Nick Chubb than I am Austin Eckler in terms of guys that went around that range. I'm not 100% convinced Kenyon Drake is out of the woods, right? Chase Edmonds got a lot of work on Sunday. So I'm just saying, in terms of the guys that went in that range, I have more confidence in Eckler going forward than some of the other guys that you might have more question marks. We haven't seen Miles Sanders on a football field yet. Well, He's the guy that went in that range.
I get it. So we need another few weeks before we totally sort of, we have not, we can't come to conclusions as of yet. Stefania.
Feel better about Austin Eckler than I do James Conner or Le'Veon Bell.
Oh, no question about it. Just in case there is a daily dose of Devontae, Stefania, very quickly, is there anything we need to know about Devontae Parker, or are we still basically taking this day by day?
Well, we're taking it day by day, but if you listen to what Brian Flores said, it said he was going to rehab at the start of the week and then they would see. So I think today is a big day. If he's not out at practice, the caution flags go up even further than they already were.
Okay. Well, let's keep an eye on that one and revisit tomorrow in case potentially Preston Williams or Isaiah Ford or somebody else is impacted.
They're playing the Bills. I think you're planning to do without a Dolphins offensive player this week.
Yeah.
I can't imagine. Like, not
other
even
than
Mike
Gesicki, maybe, but that's about as far as
I would
really
go. Good against tight ends, too.
No, I'm with him. They got an excellent safety duo. Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's 15% on top of the money Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Me to show up in a non-tailored suit? You better not be waiting for that, because it's never going to happen.
Never going to happen.
But at least there's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Visit geico.com to learn more.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's number 8, SAVE. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's number 8, SAVE. Jet's Pizza, better because it has to be.
All right, let's get into quarterback rankings, and let's move forward through these rankings. A little bit more pace on our side here, but let's revisit some of the players that had a huge week one, Matthew. I don't know if we have to order them or just sort of speak in lump them all in the same group, but Josh Allen, Cam Newton, Aaron Rodgers, all were awesome. The only one of those three that we had as a consensus top 10 quarterback going into the season was Josh Allen, but even he exceeded expectations. He played the best game of his life in some ways in week one. I know there were some missed throws. I get it.
He was great.
First 300-yard passing game in his career, two passing touchdowns. He had a rushing touchdown. He was the third best quarterback in fantasy in week one. He, Cam Newton, Aaron Rodgers, you trusting all of these quarterbacks to look comparably in week two?
I am. So I have Josh Allen at four. You love the matchup with the Miami Dolphins. By the way, his top three career games have come against the Finns.
Ooh, nice. Right?
He scored 33.8 the last time he faced Miami. And to your point, he looks the part, right? Stephon Diggs has been a real addition to that offense so far. Early returns are great. Cam Newton, I have him as a top 10 play this week as well. Looked great. Look, I think it's going to be a bit of a shootout in Seattle. Right, I mean, like, you know, Matt Ryan in a losing effort had a massive fantasy game against the Seahawks. And so Cam Newton versus Russell Wilson, just as a fan, really looking forward to watching that one.
Totally.
But I don't think Cam withers in the moment there. So I think Cam has a big game. I think the rushing continues there. And in terms of Aaron Rodgers, again, you love the matchup here against Detroit. Sorry, Daniel, not to pick on you.
Nope.
But, like, listen, your secondary, I mean, like, Mitchell Trubisky lit your secondary up. I'm not convinced Aaron Rodgers is all the way back to being a fantasy superstar. I do think this is a week after last week to fire him up, because the Lions defense, specifically the secondary, was very unimpressive in week one.
A lot of injuries. I mean, there were a lot of injuries in
Justin
the second
Coleman
half of that game.
Justin Coleman is on IR.
Yep.
Desmond Trufant could miss this game as well. Yep. Aaron Rodgers could be in line for a huge day. One interesting note on Cam. Just interesting because you know, there are players that when they run, they look super fast, and they are fast. And there are players when they run, you're like, I know he's running fast, but he doesn't look that fast.
Yeah, that we call that the Matthew Berry.
Yeah, correct. That's right. I believe if I have the stat totally correctly, there were 6 instances in which a quarterback reached at least 19.5 miles per hour in week 1 as a ball carrier.
Okay. I assume this is next-gen stats?
Yes, per next-gen stats. 2 of them were Cam Newton. And it didn't even look like he was humming, but then you forget that, like, when you're 6'5", 250 pounds, your glides, like, every Cam Newton glide is worth, I don't know, 1.25 Lamar Jackson glides or something.
Yeah, what people don't realize, I mean, just I think because you watch on TV and you don't see, Cam Newton's a linebacker.
Correct.
Like, Cam Newton is built like a linebacker. Like, I don't think people understand, like, you know he's big, but I don't think you understand, like, how big. Yeah. Just, like, what a massive human being he is.
Yeah, he is. He's different, man. He's different. I can't wait for that game on Sunday night.
Great.
That's going to
be fun. Great. It'll be great. But, yeah, I mean, so...
Look,
the question with Cam has never been talent. The question has been health. He's 100% healthy now.
Yep. He looked great in week 1, which should be a fun one on Sunday night. And let's move forward to a game that maybe causes a little bit of concern for your quarterback and maybe not enough to bench him, but let's figure this out. Deshaun Watson, the Texans, how about the schedule they get the first 2 weeks? Go to Kansas City and you host the Baltimore Ravens. Tough matchup against Baltimore. We saw them be overmatched against Kansas City. I kind of expect the same thing in week 2. Is that enough to move Deshaun out of your top 10 quarterbacks? It's close.
It wasn't for me, but I have him at 10.
I have him
at
9.
Which is probably the lowest I'll have him all season. Look, Deshaun Watson is one of those guys that always seems to find a way.
Yeah.
But you'd be lying, and they have extra time to prepare. They play the Thursday night game, so they've had 10 days to prepare for this game. But look, Baltimore's defense is no joke whatsoever. Since 2019, the only quarterback to score more than 16.5 fantasy points against the Ravens, Patrick Mahomes. Mm. Now, Deshaun Watson is sort of in that tier,
right.
But I don't know that he has the weapons that Patrick Mahomes does. I don't know that he necessarily has the play caller. All due respect to Bill O'Brien, he's not Andy Reid. And so, concerned. Now, listen, I have Aaron Rodgers at 11. I have Watson at 10.
You could flip those.
100%. Like, yeah, I'm just saying, like, I still have him in my top 10. I still have him as a starter, but again, it's the lowest I have him all. It's likely the lowest I'll have him all year. And I'd be lying if I said I would be starting Watson against the Ravens with super confidence, with not an eyebrow raised, but just like, this is a no-brainer.
You know,
it's not a no-brainer.
We need to be sort of mindful of, because you mentioned this, and I agree with it, and Drew Brees about, like, hey, you know, if you have Drew Brees, I wouldn't go drop a player in order to add a second quarterback to your roster just for this week. I think the same logic applies with Deshaun Watson,
yes.
Right? Like, I wouldn't go out and grab somebody, Carson Wentz or whoever, Jared Goff. So I think it's almost like these future quarterback conversations we'll have in the early portion of the season, especially before bye weeks when you have to keep depth at other spots. Like, if there's a guy outside of our top 15 for quarterbacks, then I would take it as a real red flag that, like, hey, you know what? You might really want to consider making that end of bench move to drop your 6th wide receiver or 5th running back to add an extra quarterback. Otherwise, like, it's just hard to execute a transaction just for 1 week, because almost every other week, Deshaun's going to be in our top 5, 6, 7 quarterbacks. And as bad as it was last week for Kansas City, he still had, 20.8 fantasy points. He was still a top 11 quarterback in a terrible week.
Yeah, I mean, come on. He ran for a touchdown. He threw for a touchdown. Had about 250 yards. Now, this was interesting, though, because I did not know this. So I have him at 10. I think you have him at 9. Mike Clay has him at 8. Secret Squirrel has him at 3. Secret Squirrel loves him some Deshaun Watson this week.
Bounce back?
Secret Squirrel has him at 8 as well. That is accurate. Yes, does not have Deshaun Watson at 3.
All right, the graphics are wrong. I apologize there. There is, for people watching at home, that is incorrect. So we're all down there as a low-tier QB1.
I got to say that it was really difficult when I was looking at this matchup, where I was like, am I going to have Josh Allen ahead of Kyler Murray and Russell Wilson and Deshaun Watson, when
sure
it's like,
you are.
You know, the start your studs thing, you know, don't get cute. And this week it kind of felt like there's some guys that definitely have some tough matchups to think about.
I don't think you could ever put Josh Allen ahead of a healthy Lamar Jackson and a healthy Patrick Mahomes.
Agreed.
But after that, I have Allen at 4, but if somebody ranked him 3rd, I wouldn't be like, what are you doing there? Mm. Like, I mean, again,
not with this
Josh Allen
after week 1
against Miami.
Yeah.
Yep. You know. Generation Rising is brought to you by EA Sports NFL Madden 21, which brings us to our first running back ranking question. Marlon Mack officially placed on IR just before this podcast started. Jonathan Taylor, is he now a must-start against the Vikings, Matthew? And do you expect him to be a must-start every week going forward?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And 90, but how about happens?
Yes.
Okay, great. Yeah, so listen, I think
whatever the question around Jonathan Taylor is, the answer is yes.
Yeah, I mean, we feel really good about him.
Yes.
And you said this on the podcast yesterday. If we were redrafting today, he'd probably be a top 15 running back, probably a top 30 selection.
He'd probably be a top 10. I mean, I think he would go ahead of, rightfully or wrongfully, but he would go ahead of all sort of the, honestly, like, here's the running backs he would definitely not go ahead of.
Okay.
Okay. He would not go ahead of
McCaffrey,
Barkley, Zeke, Kamara,
Henry,
CEH, Dalvin Cook.
Dalvin Cook. Okay. Aaron Jones, yes or no?
I could certainly see him going ahead of Aaron Jones, ahead of Nick Chubb, ahead of Kenyon Drake, ahead of Miles Sanders, ahead of Austin Eckler, ahead of
Matt Forte.
Ahead of Chicago Bears legend Matt Forte.
Yeah.
Yeah, any one of those guys, right? I mean, like, that's where John, because
I get it.
The hype on him would be so real. I'm not saying necessarily that's where I would rank him, but he would be inside, you know, my top 10. And I certainly would, I would prefer him to Nick Chubb. I would prefer him to Kenyon Drake. I would prefer him to Miles Sanders. Probably prefer him to Austin Eckler. And you know how much I love Eckler. Like, again, look, Nyheim Hines is going to be more involved than people realize. Like, this is going to be like a 60-40, 65-35. It really is. But between the 20s is all going to be Jonathan Taylor. I think they split the red zone work, at least initially. And then, you know, it starts seeding to Taylor. Third down is still going to be Hines. Rivers does like having a pass-catching running back in red zone situations. Yeah. And so I do think Nyheim Hines has another 4 or 5 receiving touchdowns in him for the rest of the season. But Jonathan Taylor is awesome.
This could be Melvin Gordon, Austin Eckler light again.
I agree.
It really could be. I mean, same quarterback, obviously, and if week one proves to be real, it might not be, like, they might have a lot of games. Like, Phillip Rivers played a Chargers game on Sunday. Like, it was a flashback for me. It was like, oh, Phillip Rivers in the
Colts
middle of
game,
a tussle.
Yeah.
No, he played a Chargers game with the Colts.
Oh, with the Colts, right. Of course, 100%.
Like, it was a Chargers game.
Down to the end,
like,
threw a bad pick late, but wound up with big numbers. Yeah, I mean,
Now he minds at 8 targets, and Jonathan Taylor had 6 in week one. Like, there is a lot of reason to believe that these could be sort of maybe, and I don't think, and what I'm not suggesting is that I would prefer Hines to Taylor, because obviously last year you preferred Eckler to Gordon, but like, two very viable running backs. And I think the Phillip Rivers dump off to running back thing is very, very real.
100% agree with that. But the six receptions for Jonathan Taylor is one of those things that just sort of raises your eyebrow
in a good way.
In a massive way, because everyone knows, like, this guy's great between the tackles. He's got great size and speed. It's obviously an offensive line that's amazing. He had an incredible nose for the end zone when he was at Wisconsin. So it's just like, what's his passing game usage going to be like? And week one, 6 receptions, and you're like,
great.
Oh boy, like, it is not beyond the realm of possibility. It's a long shot, but it's not completely crazy that next year we are talking about Jonathan Taylor as the number one running back in fantasy. That's not crazy.
Not crazy.
I'm saying it's a long shot, but it is not out of the realm of possibility. And he has Ezekiel Elliott like ability. When you think about what Ezekiel, like, fantasy wise, is what I'm talking about, right? I mean, they're different running backs, but Jonathan Taylor's got a chance to be really special in this league, not only from an NFL perspective, but from a fantasy perspective.
All right. How about, so tomorrow night we have Browns and Bengals. We'll preview that again on Thursday's show, but you know, you will not be here, and it's a worthwhile conversation to have. And you mentioned a little bit earlier how Nick Chubb's concerning to you. That's in part, large part, because Kareem Hunt was great in week one. Not only did he play a lot more, or play more, I should say, and have a better fantasy day, but Kareem Hunt's really talented, right? Like, we've talked about this a million times over, that, like, you know, it's one thing when a backup running back creeps up behind for a couple of games, and it's like, oh, that's cute, right? Like, this guy's getting some run. The coaching staff is making him feel good about himself. Put everything else aside, if you could ask a team, who would they prefer in a vacuum, Kareem Hunt or Nick Chubb, there would be consensus, right? Like, there would probably be some votes for Kareem Hunt.
Right.
Have we gotten to the point where the gap is already narrowed, that, like, it's almost flip a coin with these two?
According to our ranks, it has. I have Chubb at 15. I have Hunt at 20. You have him at 18 and 19 right there. Secret Squirrel also has Hunt at 18, Chubb at 19. So we're all like right there is mid-tier running back twos, which is certainly a boon to where you drafted Hunt and a downgrade from where you drafted Chubb. I will say that I think if I, especially on a short week, if I'm Kevin Stefanski and I'm looking at the film from Sunday, I'm like, you know what we need to do? Les Baker. Like, Baker's got the yips or something. Like, Baker just is off, and they've got to get him right, and they got to get him fixed. But on a short week against a Bengals defense that played gutty against the Chargers on Sunday, you know, they I feel like they go back to Nick Chubb in a bigger way, that they try to run the ball. And I think both guys get a lot of run in this particular game. I don't think Hunt gets used as much in the passing game as maybe we saw against the Ravens where they were getting blown out, right? So I feel like it's they're going to be run heavy on Thursday night. The Browns are.
Which would
seem, in theory, benefit Chubb at least a little bit, which is why I have Chubb higher than Hunt, but I have both guys as top 20 plays this week.
There's a chance on Monday or Tuesday of next week we'll do a segment along the lines of like week one reactions that proved to be overreactions and potentially Nick Hubb sort of dissolving from the running back one pool could be one of the topics we bring up. Just a couple of really quick ones here, Matthew, and I think the first one's sort of obvious. Raheem Mostert is inside our top 16 for all of us. Daniel actually has him all the way up at running back 10, and I get that a lot of his production week one came from that long 76-yard touchdown catch, and Tevin Coleman was limited because of the air quality issues and a previous existing condition. He's a must-start.
He is. That's his name. Raheem must start.
Right, yes.
And I love you were talking earlier about the next-gen stats. Like, you tweeted something at Field Yates that I saw, which was incredible. That Raheem Mostert's reception, like he reached a speed of...
Yeah, I think it's 22.76. Whatever the specific number was, it's the fastest by any ball carrier since Tyreek Hill in 2016. How about that?
I mean, Raheem Mostert is a good guy between the tackles and can take a hit and, you know, bigger guy than you think. And then you're like, oh, he can scoot?
Well, I mean, and Stefania, I don't want to, put you on the spot here, but with George Kittle also being iffy for the 49ers, did anybody on that offense impress you besides Raheem Mostert in week one? I'm sorry, but nobody did for me.
No, really didn't. I mean, if you're looking for a deep flyer for this week.
Okay, Matthew, go ahead and give us a deep flyer for this week.
Look, how much time have you spent talking about your Lions? And they didn't earn the airtime.
Whoa, Ooh, I thought snap. We were friends.
Yeah, geez, this is getting Lions
here. I want to give a little props to
Jerick
McKinnon, who should have had two touchdowns.
Yeah.
Had one touchdown. Dante Pettis unfortunately got in his way, prevented him from getting a second one. But Jerick McKinnon, after 2 years of not playing because of ACL surgery that cost him the first year he was with the Niners, and then extended rehab when the knee was a problem last year, there's a little something going on there. Jimmy Garoppolo has developed some confidence in Jerick McKinnon's ability to catch a pass in the red zone. And so, you know, just look for that as a possibility, especially if you're missing the good hands of George Kittle. And like you said, Raheem Mostert is the running back you want. But just as a little hybrid flyer, take a look at Jerick McKinnon, I would say, over Tevin Coleman.
One more running back, Matthew, that had a pretty solid week one. And I'm not totally convinced, but Maybe I might have to make an adjustment here, is Ronald Jones. He does not crack the top 20 for you, me, or Daniel, but he's right on the precipice. He had the first 12 running back carries in week one. That was good. But we know Leonard Fournette's coming at some point, right? They signed him. They have confidence in him. Bruce Arians has had a million things since the game. We're all over the map here, right? Brady had bad throws, and Mike Evans needed more targets. And maybe on second thought, it wasn't actually a bad throw on Brady on the interception. It was actually a Mike Evans bad route or something. I mean, there's a lot that's coming out. But where are we at going into week two with our confidence for Ronald Jones?
Look, there's always a chance that Fournette comes in there if it's not working. But my expectation here is the Panthers, who just gave up 3 rushing touchdowns to Josh Jacobs, gives up at least 1 score to Ronald Jones, and that all the concerns coming out of Tampa Bay are all righted after a big victory. I think, look, nothing cures ails like winning. And that's my expectation here, is that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers not only win this game, but they win it in a big way, because they need to. They need to sort of, you know, get everyone off their back. And was this a big mistake for Brady coming here and blah, blah, blah. And he looks old and, you know, out of sync and all the dumb narratives. I think with all due respect to Boomer, maybe no one circles the wagon like Tom Brady. I think the Buccaneers have a massive game here against the Panthers all across the board, and Ronald Jones is going to be part of that.
Yeah, we've realized that the Bucs, forecasting them week to week is going to be difficult. So for now, Ronald Jones remains atop the backs you want to play from Tampa Bay. It sure was nice seeing the teams back out on the gridiron over the weekend. Lucky for us, that was just week one. There is no better place to get in all of the action than with DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports. To add to this week's excitement, DraftKings has millions of dollars in total prizes up for grabs. If you haven't tried DraftKings yet, head to the App Store now, because you don't want to miss this. Draft your lineup now and feel the sweat like never before. Every run, pass, and catch means more with DraftKings. It's simple. Just pick your lineup, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Nothing adds to the excitement of watching the game quite like having a shot at millions of dollars in prizes. DraftKings has paid out billions of dollars to winners since 2012, so they know a thing or two about cold, hard cash. Download the DraftKings app now and use code FOCUS. For a limited time, new users can get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes this week. Don't miss out on week two action. Enter code FOCUS to get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes with your first deposit. That's code FOCUS, only at DraftKings. Make it rain. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
What do you do when you need a moment to chill? Huh? These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nothing but nonstop hustle all the time. But sometimes you just need a moment to turn off and hit reset.
Is that what it sounds like when you hit reset?
That's the Coors Light that is cracking open while I'm resetting. Whoa. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. Don't miss the new packaging from Coors Light. It's already hitting shelves. The new design features clear skies that invite you to sit back, unwind, and drink it all in. And the iconic Coors Light mountains still turn blue when your beer is as cold as the Rockies. It's a brand new look with the same ice-cold refreshment. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's literally made to chill. It's a crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies, perfect for a moment to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door at get.coorslight.com. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Thank you, Daniel. Let's get through a few of these pass catcher ranks and do so expediently. We need to begin with Baker Mayfield. Matthew, you again are not going to be here on Thursdays during the season for the most part, so let's get your opinion on Baker Mayfield. I'm sorry, Odell Beckham Jr. I got to tell you, Matthew, I was staunch in my belief in Odell Beckham Jr. coming around this preseason, and I'm going to stick there, Matthew. I think it's a great matchup on Thursday night. However, I will remind people that we saw a lot of great matchups last year, and I kept saying he's got to take advantage. This is Odell Beckham Jr. If your panic is moderate right now after week one, maybe even low, how much does week two influence what that means going forward? Because if he doesn't cash in on Thursday night, Matthew, I might have to find a way to scrub some of the takes from the preseason.
Yeah, I understand.
Is that loud or no?
It's a little bit of concern. Now, understand, they're the road team on a short week. They're traveling. And again, Baker did not look great. Baltimore makes a lot of quarterbacks look bad. So
it is a big distance to go from Cleveland to Cincinnati.
I think if it's not there after 3 weeks, then I think we can panic on OBJ, because there's enough things that you can sort of say, like, short week,
12
traveling.
Targets, 10 targets last week.
Yeah, he's got
good.
A lot of targets. We know the talent was there. Again, I just thought Baker looked bad. By the way, while you were reading the commercials, our own Jeremy Fowler tweeted out that the expectation is Jarvis Landry will play on Thursday night.
He did not participate in practice on Tuesday, which is a simulated practice report. He was fine for Monday. You wonder if that's sort of more maintenance for the Browns star wide receiver, who we know often does find a way to play. The Jags and Titans showdown. There were a couple of wide receivers who kind of let you down in week one relative to what we expected going into this season. DJ Chark had 3 catches for 25 yards. The saving grace was a touchdown, and AJ Brown had 5 catches for 39 yards. Either one of these players at all concerning after week one, or are you saying, hey, you know what, just trust the process?
No, trust the process. They're both talented. In terms of Chark, he's still the best wide receiver on that team. A.J. Brown's still the best wide receiver on those teams. Look, A.J. Brown got 8 targets, you know?
I'm good with it.
I'm good with A.J. Brown, who, by the way, was much more efficient last year on less targets. So he's getting 8 targets. I'm not worried about that at all. And, give me DJ Chark. Listen, I'm in on Minshew. I'm in on this Jags offense. You know, I have been all season long. Like, even though Gardner doesn't know who the hell I am. I know who the hell he is.
We'll get you guys to meet one day in person. Yep. It'll be glorious. You guys can exchange mustache tales. Tyler Higbee, not a great week one, Matthew. Another player there. Are you preaching patience here on Tyler Higbee, or was there something that you saw in week one that maybe made you a little bit nervous?
No, not yet. I mean, I'm still preaching patience on Tyler Higbee. Yeah. It's a great matchup with the Eagles.
They ran the ball really well in week one. They had, what, so they had, I think, 35 running back carries. Like, they ran the ball a ton, lower scoring game. Higbee, like,
the Eagles aren't great against tight ends. I mean, Logan Thomas caught a touchdown. My guy, Logan Thomas, caught a touchdown against them last week.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, I'm back in on Tyler Higbee this week. I'm not worried about it. Again, you don't want to overreact too much to week one.
I do want to say one thing, though, really quickly. I think this is just a really good note for Kyle, something that I'm looking at here in week two. During the last 5 weeks, which is where we were preaching Tyler Higbee as a part of our draft season, he averaged 31.8 routes run over that time. He only ran 19 routes in week one. So I want to see that number jump up in week two to feel like the Tyler Higbee that we drafted him to be those last 5 weeks is something that, like, we're still seeing here now in the first seasons of our first few games of 2020.
Yeah, but I mean, in fairness, by the way, we didn't draft him expecting that, because if you drafted him expecting what he was over the final five weeks,
he would have been the number one player overall. Yeah. Yes.
I mean, or, you know, at least a top, literally a first rounder, because he was the eighth best player in all of fantasy from week 13 on last year. So what you're expecting is that he's a mid-tier tight end one, and I think he still is that. I'm not ready to bail on that assessment
either
after week one against the Cowboys game. Again, they ran the ball very, very well.
Let me ask you just one more here before we get to our trivia question. Noah Fant was awesome in week one, and I'm not trying to put you on the spot here. It could be that, like, maybe you will adjust him. I am at number 7 amongst tight ends. He's outside your top 10. Is there something about the matchup against the Steelers? Because they're awesome, obviously. You concerned about the matchup? Is that what sort of leads you to have him?
The Steelers.
Yeah, that's it. Which it's a sensible, logical conclusion.
They're traveling on a short week to Pittsburgh. Yeah. They played the late Monday night game. Now they're traveling to Pittsburgh. I think the Steelers' defense is awesome. I want to see, like, there's a chance that they get Cortland Sutton back. So does Fant get the target share? And look, man, like, we'll see what how Drew Lock handles that Steelers blitzing defense. Like, Daniel Jones looked like a deer in the headlights. And so I think there's a chance that happens with Drew Lock. So yes, this is mostly matchup based, because, you know, I'm a Fant guy. I believe Fant is fantastic.
You did it again. He did it again. All right, let's head over to Kyle for our trivia question. This is a good one if I can read it correctly. But Kyle, you tell the masses. What is the trivia question of the week?
I got you here. What player led the NFL with 45.3% of his team's offensive scrimmage yards in week one?
Okay, read that one more time, Kyle, just so everybody...
What player led the NFL with 45.3% of his team's scrimmage yards in week one?
Okay, good question there from Sir Sopping.
I have a question.
Okay, Stefania, what is your question?
So is it like a percentage?
Yes. So
as
a
opposed
player,
to total.
Right.
Correct.
So one player had 45.3% of his team's total yards from scrimmage, which would be rushing plus receiving yards.
Yeah, I just didn't know if it was yards or percentage.
One. So
kind of like I have had the highest winning percentage, but Fields still leading me in points.
Well, but our winning percentage is now getting very, very close to each other.
Everybody tied with the number of correct answers.
That's right.
Fields on a run here.
All right.
Let's start with Field. You know what? Field's been doing so well recently. Field, why don't you give us your answer first?
My answer is Alvin Kamara, who was very good both as a runner and a receiver, and the Saints only had 160 passing yards.
He was very good.
Week one.
That's a much better guess than mine.
Yeah.
I guess Josh Jacobs.
That's a great guess right there. Yeah.
That's not bad at all. Stefania?
I was going to say Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but he didn't really have the receiving yards. I thought he had the ball more than
Stefania. I think you could be right there, Stefania. I really do. Kyle.
Stefania has the best guess, but she doesn't get it right. Jamison Crowder.
What?
Leads the way. The Jets just didn't get much going. The 69-yard touchdown helped everything. Jamison Crowder, over 45% of the Jets week one yards.
That is
hilarious
right there. Wow, Jamison Crowder might be the only player that you could have in your lineup for the Jets this upcoming weekend.
You know, it's interesting. You know, when you think about it, when you think about how long the show is, to consistently have trivia be my least favorite part every single day... You know, it's really an amazing consistency of...
Who's the most consistent player in fantasy football?
What?
Probably Christian McCaffrey, right?
Who's the most consistent?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would think, I would think so.
The Christian McCaffrey of this show is what you're saying.
Yes, exactly right. You know what else is consistent?
What's that?
Rotopass.com.
Oh, tell me more about that.
Helping you out. That's right. It you get a subscription to ESPN Plus and many other great sites. If you just go to rotopass.com or rotopassdaily.com for those of you who play DFS, for all the aficionados of the CSS DFS show. Anyway, help you out. Either use promo code 06010 at rotopass.com, get 10% off.
Okay.
And if you go to rotopassdaily.com, you get 15% off if you use the promo code LAUNCH.
Launch.
Launch, because we're just starting that up now, 15% off. And again, you get a subscription to ESPN Plus with both of those products.
And there's so much good stuff in there.
It's unbelievable.
ESPN Plus really pays for itself, but all the other extra services help you win your league. And if you're down in the dumps after a tough week one, you're not alone. RotoPass can help you out. Daniel, what do you got?
Just a real quick reminder that we are doing a virtual live show September 22nd, next Tuesday at 6 p.m. You can go get tickets at bit.ly/fantasyfocusfootball. All lowercase. It's going to be a ton of fun. A whole bunch of Q&A. Just going to be a lot of questions, and our content's going to come from you guys.
Might have a special guest. Daniel may be topless. We'll see.
Fingers crossed.
A lot of things could happen.
Yeah, that's excellent teasing right there by both of you. We are back tomorrow with a preview of Thursday Night Football. Love-Hate will be out.
Love-Hate will be out. Mike Clay will be here as well, so say hi to Mike for me as well. For at Field Yates, for at Stefania underscore ESPN, I'm at Matthew Berry TMR on all forms of social media except the Fantasy Life app, where I'm merely at Matthew Berry, at Daniel Dopp on the Twitter. Peace out.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.